are in the book of Numbers this morning, chapter 23, if you turn in your Bibles. Numbers chapter 23. It's always a blessing to go to God's Word together and hear from the Lord through His Word. And this morning is just a beautiful passage from a time in the life of the nation of Israel. Most of you know the story of Balaam and Balak, but through this we learn so much about God's protection of His own children. And if you're born again this morning, you fit into that category. So notice here, this is one of the times when Balaam was asked to give a curse against God's people Israel by Balak the king. And each time God overrode what he said. He tried to curse Israel and God instead spoke a blessing through him. And this is one of those times here in Numbers chapter 23, beginning in verse 13. The Bible says, "And Balak said unto him, Come, I pray thee, with me unto another place, from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shalt not see them all, and curse them from thence. And he brought him into the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built seven altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said unto Balak, Stand here by thy burnt offering, while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, Go again unto Balak, and say thus. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, What hath the Lord spoken? And he took up his parable, and said, Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, What hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. And Balak said unto Balaam, Neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. But Balaam answered and said unto Balak, Told not I thee, saying, All that the Lord speaketh, that I must do. So I'm going to take my title from the passage there, What Hath God Wrought? What Hath God Wrought? Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our hearts this morning to teach us and grow us, to meet needs, to convict, whatever, Lord, needs to be done. May we open our hearts to hear from you, and may the Holy Spirit take the powerful word of God and do a work in our lives. And may we leave changed by your word. And so we give you this time. May you be magnified in it. And may you give us your wisdom and guide us in your truth in this time in your word. We love you so much and pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And so we see some great things in this passage. God's love for his people Israel, despite their disobedience. And yet, do we ever disobey God? And he loves us so much and he's so good to us. And we see a lot of parallels here between how God views his people Israel and how God views and treats us as his children through Jesus Christ. And so I just wanted to point out a few things in this passage. I want to start there in verse 19 and point out the truth that God cannot lie. Praise God. And that's really the foundation of it all, is the Word of God. That if God has written it in His Word, it's true. And we can bank on it. We can stand on it. Notice it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? If God has made a promise in His Word, He's going to keep it. And we as God's children can claim the promises of God for our own lives and know that God will keep those promises. Israel could have done the same. But of course, they were living in disobedience. They didn't want to obey God. But God always, always keeps his promises. God cannot lie, as it says in this passage here. And we could stop right here and finish the morning just talking about the beautiful promises of God, couldn't we? Because there's so many. And they're all true. And they're all going to happen. Jesus said, I will come again. Well, he's coming again. God keeps his promises. The Lord said, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Then God will do it. Jesus said, all things you ask for prayer, believing, you shall receive. Then God will do it. God keeps his promises. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And we could just, again, we could go on all morning, couldn't we? But we see, first of all, and most importantly this morning, that God cannot lie. God always keeps his word. And that leads to the rest. Because of that, we know we're going to heaven. Because of that, we know we're saved from our sins. Because of that, we know we have an inheritance in heaven. We could go on and on. Why? Because God keeps his promises. And what hath God wrought? Let's see. Let's move on through the passage. And so down in verse 20, the Bible says, behold, I receive commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. So not only do we see that God keeps his promises, but we see that his word cannot be reversed. I like that. God's word cannot be reversed. It's preserved, in other words. Let's go to Psalm 12 and see this morning. This is important for us as believers in our Creator, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important for us to settle in our hearts that God has preserved his word and it cannot be reversed, that it is settled. Look at Psalm 12, verse 6, if you would. Beautiful truth about God's word. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That word preserve, that's an important word. God promised that he would preserve his word forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God's word cannot be reversed. We're told in 1 Peter 1 that the word of the Lord endureth forever. So everything we see around us, really, everything that we can see and touch and feel, there's only two things that are going to survive the fire of God's wrath, and that's souls and the Word of God. That's it. Everything else is going to burn up. And sadly, unsaved souls are going to burn forever in hell. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. It's preserved. And we can confidently say that we hold in our hands the preserved Word of God. Amen? And it can't be reversed. That's a blessing. And it should be so important to us as believers to know that what we read in the Word of God, it's exactly what God wanted us to have. It's exactly written the way he wanted us to have it. And we can trust it. And so God can't lie. And God's word cannot be reversed. And by the way, men try. It started in the Garden of Eden where the devil tried and said, yea, hath God said. And man keeps trying, with the help of the devil, of course, to reverse the word of God by cutting parts out and changing parts. And we got to have a new version about every year now. Why? Because the devil hates the word of God. That's why. But the Bible cannot be reversed, and God will always keep his promises. Let's move on, verse 21. What else has God wrought? It says in verse 21, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. Think about what he's saying in this prophecy. He's looking out over the people of God who have done nothing but disobey, complain, argue, try to get rid of their leader, threaten to return to Egypt. And he says, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. We're seeing here a picture of imputation. We talked about it in Romans last week. in our Sunday school class, a picture of the fact that when God makes us His children, He imputes to us righteousness and no longer beholds iniquity in our lives. It's a beautiful truth of our salvation. Let me show you a couple of examples. Go to Romans chapter 3 and verse 22, where the Bible makes it very clear that when God saves, when God makes us His children, God imputes to us righteousness, and there is no more iniquity on our account. Now, does that mean we no longer sin? No. But it means that those sins are covered. Notice Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Now go to chapter 4 of Romans, while you're in Romans, verse 6. It says, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And most of us know 2 Corinthians 5:21, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Do you know, if you're a born-again child of God this morning, when God looks down, just like in this prophecy that Balaam gave, He doesn't see iniquity on your account. It's amazing. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. Now, He chose to do it this way. When Jesus said it is finished on the cross, sin had been paid for, and when we accepted the payment for our account and trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, God put the sins on Christ and put His righteousness on us. And now when God beholds us, He doesn't see iniquity. It's amazing. And when we stand before God, that's why we'll be allowed in heaven. Not because we were good, but because Jesus died, rose again, and gave us His righteousness when we got saved. And that's what God will see when we enter heaven, is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He won't behold iniquity. What hath God wrought? He can't lie. His word cannot be reversed. And He imputes His righteousness to His children. Moving on, verse 21. The Bible says, the Lord His God is with Him, and the shout of a king is among them. When God makes us His children, He not only gives us His righteousness, but He also, as we see here, gives us His presence. You know, God could have just said, okay, you're saved now. I'll see you when you get to heaven. But instead, He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Instead, Jesus said, lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the world. He promises not only to save us and give us His righteousness, but He also promises to give us His presence to help us through the rest of this battle we call the Christian life here on earth. He is with His children. David said in Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And it's true. And Jesus said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We can take these promises to the bank, because we already got points 1 and 2, and that is God can't lie and keeps His promises and His word can't be reversed. So God promises to give His presence to His children in addition to His righteousness. But it goes further. Down in verse 23, the Bible says, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. God not only promised His righteousness and His presence, but His protection. And this was an example of that protection. Here we have a king, a wealthy king, trying to buy a prophet for hire, if you will, to curse God's people. And every time that he stood up, you know, he tried to finagle his way, because he really wanted the money in the end. And every time he tried to stand up and curse Israel, God just took over, and out came a blessing instead. Because God protects God's children. Look at Isaiah 54, verse 17, if you would. beautiful truth about God's protection in our lives. And another example of what this passage is talking about, Isaiah 54:17, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." If the Lord's on our side, now does that mean we can't die? No. But it means we can't die until it's God's time. And that until it is God's time to bring us home to glory, no weapon shall prosper, because we have the Creator of the universe on our side. We are protected by Him. And you know, we could go through all the verses in the Old Testament and all in the New Testament about God's protection, about the safety we have in the Lord. But you know what God is saying here? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. God protects His children. Praise God. So He's given us His word and says, "I'll keep it. I will never break it. It cannot be reversed. I will give you my righteousness. I'll give you my presence. I'll give you my protection." And look at verse 23. "According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought?" What hath God wrought? Well, here we are about 3,000 years later from when this was written. That's just a little while. And we look around, and all of those nations that surrounded Israel, and some of them fought against Israel. Has anybody ever met a Canaanite, or a Perizzite, or a Jebusite, or a Moabite? You know why you haven't? Because they're gone. But has anybody ever met a Jew? Now, how could that be? How 3,000 years later can there be German Jews and Swiss Jews and Swedish Jews and Kiwi Jews and American Jews? They're still Jews. How can that be? Well, because as we've seen in Sunday school, there are literally hundreds of prophecies and promises in here that God will preserve His people, that there will always be Jews, that those promises He made, He will keep. And so He's saying, it will be said here in verse 23, of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Let me tell you, in 1948, there were a lot of people saying, what hath God wrought? You mean they get a nation again? After all of this time of just being scattered in the, as it says, in the four corners of the earth, now they get their own nation? Yep. What hath God wrought? And it's not finished. One day, there will be a kingdom over the whole earth, and its headquarters will be in a little place called Jerusalem. And what we find from this passage is that God always preserves His people. The nation of Israel has gone through a lot, and the devil's done his best to wipe them out. I mean, you think about it. Hitler was just one example. There's been many of the devil. He knows what the Bible says. And he knows if he can wipe out the Jews, that he's going to break the promises of God. And so he's tried and he's tried and he's tried. It's not going to work. Because God has always preserved His people. He will preserve Israel. There will be Jewish people that will survive, that will go into the tribulation. There will be those who will survive. There will be those who go into the kingdom, because God said so. But we can take that as children of God in the church age and say, what does that mean for me? God preserves His people. We are His people. We aren't Jews, but we are God's children. And we are God's people. And God will preserve us. You know, the survival of Israel is really one of the greatest proofs of the supernaturalness of God's word. because the devil's done everything he can, the world's done everything they can to get rid of the Jews. And it just isn't going to happen. And this prophecy given by Balaam 2,800 years ago was basically saying, there's always going to be Jews. But what does it say to you and me? That God preserves His people. Look at Jude 1, if you would, in the New Testament. The book of Jude, right before the book of Revelation. It's only got one chapter. Look at the first verse. The Bible says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, look at this last bit, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Now that's written to you and me. We are preserved in Jesus Christ. So, not only is the Word of God preserved, but God's children are preserved in Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, in John 11:26. That's why I said in John chapter 10 that we're safe in His hand and we're safe in the Father's hand. We are preserved in Christ. What hath God wrought? Think about what He's saying. That He has given us His Word. Praise God. He wrote us a love letter called the Bible. To tell us His will. To tell us about man. To tell us about Himself. To tell us how to find Christ. Tell us how to avoid hell as justice for our sin. And He's preserved it. And He's promised in there that He will give us righteousness if we'll just come to Him. And that He'll give us His presence and that He'll protect and preserve us. Why? Because He's a loving God. We don't deserve any of that. What hath God wrought? Did Israel deserve that prophecy? At the time, they weren't living for God at all. At the time, they were being their disobedient selves. And God could have just said, well, I'm just going to let Balaam just do whatever he wants to do. No. I'm not going to let my prophet curse my people. I'm going to override. And he did it three times. And the last time, Balaam didn't even consult God first because he really wanted that reward. And we know the story about the donkey, and that all happened to Balaam as well because God didn't even want him to go initially. Then he finally let him go. But then God overrode and finished with this great phrase, what hath God wrought? My friend, you can say the same thing. What hath God wrought? He's given us His Word. He's promised to preserve it. We can take it to the bank. He's going to keep every promise He's ever given. And we as His children can claim those promises. We know that God's imputed righteousness to us. We know that God's promised His presence to us. We know that God's promised His protection and His preservation. We get all of that in Jesus Christ. What hath God wrought? We should just be leaping and praising God throughout the week for what He's given us in Jesus purely because He loved us, not because we deserved it or earned it. What hath God wrought? And we need to be telling others. God did this for everyone. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says He died for the sins of the whole world. But they can't go to heaven until they accept it for themselves. They must trust Christ. They must come to Him. And then they, like we, can say, what hath God wrought? What an amazing thing He's done. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You.